Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Scott Jacobs podcast. Today, I was wanting y'all to hear a guy talk about a few things. He's a very smart man. His name is Alex Jones. This is out to him. So here it is.
Personal enjoyment in the fact that my research of the globalist operations turned out to be very, very accurate and, quite frankly, at many levels, prescient for what we're facing today. But I do take some solace in the fact that humanity is beginning to awaken and turn the corner and aren't just going to be a bunch of dumb animals that accept now the next phase of the New World Order, making us all poor, dividing us along racial and cultural and religious lines, and then reducing our population with forced inoculations, poison GMO food, and of course 5G radiation. So yes, my phone rings off the hook. I get constant emails. People come up to me on the street, they say, man, I thought you were crazy, but it's all coming true, just like you said. Alex, great job. It's not about us doing a great job. It's about researching history, discovering the eugenicists and the globalists, learning about their horrible plan, and having the courage and the will to admit what was happening before it went operational, so we'd have a future. Because the paradox is this. You think of it as heroic when you learn this stuff 25, 26, 27 years ago like I did, and then to go out and speak about it even though you got demonized. But that's heroic in the time
Everybody gets demonized nowadays.
When people can't prove what you're saying is right, because even though it's in the operational plans, it hasn't been fully implemented. But once it's being implemented, you realize this was not heroic at all. If you know there's this anti-human, exterminist, post-human, engineered global collapse taking place by the globalists, you would have to be incredibly brave and self-loathing to go along with a plan that's post-human. So there is nothing heroic going on here, other than the fact that I believe in humanity, I believe in you, and I know the models put up with the Club of Rome and Bill and Melinda Gates' funders are evil. Because these models aren't designed to empower humanity. They're designed to create a post-human system. And they're designed to put those implementing the models in control of who wins and who loses. They're not trying to stabilize the planet and have a future that's really sustainable. They're trying to set one up that is post-human, and they're trying to sabotage human development and sabotage new technologies from being developed that are clean and that will expand us into the universe. These people hate themselves, so they project their own personal hatred onto us. And they are literally like a crew of gremlins sabotaging the ship that is Mother Earth to all of our own detriment. And if they look at the numbers and the militaries and the systems going on, they're not in full control of this. So now what they have initiated isn't going to save the Earth, but a collapse is going to trigger, according to most models, a giant new series of wars that will lead to things beyond thermonuclear detonations.
Yep.
The only way out of this is to wake up to the psychotic plans of the globalists that actually created Hitler, say no to it, and be honest about folks, about the secret technologies of the future and the advancements, distribute these to the general population, and lift up humanity and go to the stars. Anyone that thinks they're going to dumb people down and poison people and engage in eugenics and then be given the deed to humans' future is a fool. You're going to be destroyed. You're going to be judged. You're going to be annihilated by the very cancerous, oppressive system you put in place that you claim was this guardian of Earth that did these terrible things for a greater good. We all know that the ends doesn't justify the means. And it's the creed of Genghis Khan and Hitler and Mao Zedong, Lenin and Stalin. I'm Alex Jones. I don't believe the end justifies the means. I believe truth and justice is the only way. I'm always excited.
See you guys. Things, like I've been saying on my last few shows, things are going to change around in America. I think the coronavirus is bringing in a new way of things are going to be getting done around in America. They're going to make it cashless. You know, we're going to have to probably keep this 6 feet distancing thing going. I've heard some stores already talking about keeping up the shields that they got up over the cash registers. There's a lot of places talking about keeping them stuff. So, guys, it really is about to get senile in America, and people are going to wonder what's going on. And for a long time, you know, people's tried to tell the government it ain't what they think it is. But what's wrong with America today is people trust the government, people trust too easy. You know, they let their guard down and they let the government give you all this money to make you happy so you're not seeing the bigger picture, you know? People just really need to start paying attention a little more. I know I do too, but dang. Things are starting to fall in place too much anymore, guys. You know? But, I gotta say, if this stuff goes down, I swear I'm heading to the woods. So if you won't find me, I'll be in the Blue Ridge Mountains somewhere. But, let's see, I was gonna let y'all hear another video. Here we go. This is about the Mark of the Beast.
Revelation that, you know, if you don't get this mark, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't be part of society. And again, it's not necessarily, it could be a tattoo or implant or a chip. I'm not ruling that out, but we've already seen, I mean, Alex Jones and others are an example. If you don't think the way that the elites and the super social media conglomerates want to think, you are kicked out. You are demonetized, you are deplatformed, you lose everything. And that's not even with a tattoo or a mark on your face or on your hand. It is the principle that if you do not think like we do, you're gone. And that's right there in Apocalypse 13. All right, thank you, Sean. Aloha, everybody. Welcome to hour four of the Alex Jones Show. And I'm fired up for this hour. I loved Alex wearing that non-threatening pink sweater, the camouflage of the Predator, Bill Gates. And now I know what I'm going for is Halloween. I'm going to take notes. I'm going to put it in my calendar just so I don't forget. And I'm going to hand out masks to everyone this Halloween dressed up as Bill Gates. I am fired up this week. There it is. I am. I was watching InfoWars a couple of days ago, and Alex was so excited to tell the story about how when Joe Rogan called him and announced that he was leaving YouTube and going to Spotify, and how he has Alex Jones in his contract and he's going to be one of his first guests, maybe even said his first guest. And I thought, how do I get to be a part of this InfoWars thing out of the blue, as Owen said, to get to be a part of your family? And the reason why Joe Rogan called Alex Jones first is because Alex was the frog that they had to throw out of the water so they could bring it to a boil. They couldn't get the water to boil as long as Alex Jones and InfoWars was in the pot. So they threw Alex Jones out, kicked some other folks out, they started bringing the water to a boil, and Joe Rogan saw what was going on. But he's a jiu-jitsu guy. I wore this shirt for him. And he's a jiu-jitsu guy, and he knows that when you're mounted by these tech giants, when you're mounted by YouTube,
guys,
you got to wait for them to start hitting you in the face. You have to wait for them to go for submission. Then you reverse the situation. And what a reversal of fortunes this week for us. This is big. And as I was thinking about Alex Jones and Joe Rogan, I think they're not in the same place on the political spectrum as this audience. Many of this audience is not in the same place in the political spectrum. But what everyone here shares in common is a commitment to freedom. We are part of different factions, different tribes. We have different political philosophies. But what we share in common is the idea that we're not going to use the power of the state to lord over others.
Right.
We're not going to threaten or coerce or spy or snitch on our neighbors because
like our government's doing.
Because we have prudential disagreements with them. It's a battle between those who love freedom and tyranny. Or as I would say, liberalism and illiberalism. but that word liberals become so confused. Traditionally, it means liberal, means freedom. It means the founding documents, the Declaration, the Constitution, those Federalist Papers. And illiberalism is the belief against freedom. So now in America, we have the illiberal left and the illiberal right versus the liberal left and the liberal right. People like Dave Rubin, Joe Rogan, Alex Jones. What's beautiful about this battle is as the battle lines are being drawn, is I prefer people who like freedom, who don't even agree with all of my little political beliefs and values. I prefer them to people who share my values, my faith, but want to lord over other people. They want to use the power of the state over other people. So the way I see things going now is it's those who love freedom versus those who don't. It's a beautiful, humane, gracious, magnanimous tribe versus pettiness, viciousness, cruelty, and statism. So this has been a big week for the forces of freedom, as Alex would say. Now, when you let me into a party, the first thing I do is ask if I can bring my friends. And if they, you can't, I'll sneak them in the back door. So being privileged to have hour four, I have a lot of friends that have a lot of interesting things to say. And so I got to bring them on with me. And for the first half hour, we have Taylor Marshall, who has one of the most one of my favorite podcasts in the world. And in the second half, we're going to have Father Frank Pavone talking about the FX documentary on Norma McCorvey. But Taylor, you did a great, you have a great course on the Book of Revelations. But this week, you scared me. You had me questioning myself, have I already taken the mark of the beast? Have a lot of people watching InfoWars already taken the mark of the beast? You did this powerful episode on your podcast on what is the mark of the beast. And by the time you were done, I think I might have already taken it. Taylor, tell us, what is the mark of the beast?
Well, there's been this big run-up because, Bill Gates talked about a national tracking system. He even said a national tracking system like the one in South Korea. And the Gates Foundation has been promoting this quantum dot technology, which can be used as sort of like an invisible tattoo that doctors can scan and get your medical history. It's kind of scary. They've talked about digital certificates. Fauci's talked about certificates of immunity.
America's about to change.
All this. And so people are talking about implants, and they're talking about, could this be the mark of the beast? And so I did a show on the mark of the beast from the Book of Revelation, chapter 13. What it is and how it relates to probably the most famous verse in the Old Testament for Jews. The most famous verse is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 8. It's called the Shema. All Jews learn this. It's one of the first things they learn. It's like their creed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with your soul, and with your whole strength. Jesus Christ said this is the great commandment. So, of course, we Christians know it as well. But then he says, Moses says to the Jewish people, you shall take this and bind it upon your hand and upon your forehead. That's what Moses says. Put it on your hand and put it on your forehead. You actually see Jews in Jerusalem, they take this verse and they wrap it on their right hand and they actually put it in a little box and they put it on their forehead and you see him walking around. I don't think that's what Moses literally meant. But we see the same thing in the Book of Revelation, where the mark of the beast is placed on the forehead and on the hand. Now, it could be an implant. It could be a tattoo. It says 666. There's obviously 6 is the number of man. 6 is evil. If you add up the name of Jesus Christ in Greek, you get 888. Christ was raised in the 8th day. There's some interesting things there. But ultimately, what Moses was telling the Jews is when you put God's word on your forehead, your hand, what does that mean? It's what you believe, it's what you think, and it's what you do with your hand. That's what Moses is teaching. He's saying, look, he's not saying, tattoo this or implant this on your face or on your hand. Moses is telling the Old Testament people, take the word of God and put it on your head, your forehead, and on your hand. Your belief and your deeds, what you think and what you do. And ultimately, that's what the mark of the beast is. Of course, it could be a transplant, it could be a tattoo, but the elites, those who want to enslave mankind, Satan himself, he's not so much concerned about a tattoo or an implant. He wants the entire world to think like him and to do the deeds of darkness. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, this sign that we see in the apocalypse is a mocking. It's making fun of what Moses taught. And it's saying, no, the beast is going to take the thoughts of Satan, put them on your forehead, put them in your mind, and the actions of Satan, and make your hand reach out and follow and do his deeds.
And it's going to be crazy how many people do it.
So, Taylor, you and I and most people watching, I think very few people, if they were like, go to the Apple store and get your 666 Mark of the Beast chip in your hand or in your forehead, you don't have to be a strong believer to say, you know what, that's a bridge too far. But how many of us have allowed sinful thoughts, evil thoughts, to penetrate our minds? How many of us have been allured or inspired or instigated to do works of evil? So as I was listening to your talk, I really thought that I have to do some real self-reflection and ask, do I have the shema on my forehead and in my hand, or do I have the mark of the beast on my forehead and in my hand?
Yeah. And it says in the apocalypse in Revelation that, you know, if you don't get this mark, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't be part of society. And again, it's not necessarily, it could be a tattoo or implant or a chip. I'm not ruling that out. But we've already seen, I mean, Alex Jones and others are an example. If you don't think the way that the elites and the super social media conglomerates mm-hmm. want to think, you are kicked out. You are demonetized. You are deplatformed. You lose everything. And that's not even with a tattoo or a mark on your face or on your hand. It is the principle that if you do not think like we do, you're gone. And that's right there in Apocalypse 13.
Yeah, no, there it is. And Taylor, when we get back, I want you to do another segment and talk to you about this. I saw a meme that said they can remove my post on chloroquine from Facebook immediately, but they can't get rid of child pornography. That should tell us something right there. Stick around, Taylor Marshall.
Right.
Taylor Marshall, welcome back to the Alex Jones Show, Hour 4. Alex just said as he was leading in, we have to fight the New World Order or lose our souls. And you have one of the most influential Christian podcasts on YouTube. When I asked you to come on to the Alex Jones Show the first time, I thought you might say no out of fear. Because I know that when I tweet that watch me on Alex Jones, those tweets disappear. When I mirror my appearances on InfoWars on my YouTube channel, they get removed. My same thing with my posts on Facebook. The reality is we are in a fight. When I asked you to come on InfoWars the first time, as a guy that makes his living off his YouTube channel, I have to imagine that's a big part of your income. Was there fear? Did you have fear that you would be targeted by these big tech companies?
All of us that are in this, you know, social media presentation, all of us doing this, we all know that our days are numbered. I mean, if you're not saying the talking points of the Democratic Party, your days are numbered. I mean, Alex Jones may have been the first domino to fall, but all of us are going to go. So am I afraid? No, I know it's inevitable. You know, is it going to be this year or 5 years from now? I don't know. But I don't think I was afraid. Or am afraid, but I do know that it will happen, and I just accept it.
You just accept it. And so there you are. You do the most wholesome kind of programming one could imagine, and you really live in fear that you're going to be deplatformed and demonetized. You've worked for over a decade, I believe now, building your presence. And meanwhile, the most vulgar types of child pornography can be found very easily through search engines like Google. I mean, doesn't that strike you?
Any of them, actually.
Yeah, it's a double standard. I mean, they have been hunting down our videos. Anything that has the word corona in it, anything that has COVID in it, anything that has Joe Biden, I have seen is demonetized either during the show or within 20 minutes of finishing a broadcast. They have already flagged it and demonetized it. So their algorithms and their censorship is so strong. And yet, when it comes to something that's gravely immoral, pornography, child pornography, they just shrug their shoulders like, well, what can we do? We can't do anything about it. So it's a complete double standard.
You know, you are a very serious practitioner of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Martial arts is a passion of mine. And I will often watch the Gracie breakdown videos or look up for street fighting videos. They're very easy to find. You can find 19-year-old kids getting in a street fight in front of a bar. Very easy to find, right? My video of my confrontation, the reason I'm even on the Alex Jones show, when I filmed the Urgent Care Hawaii video, YouTube removed that video. They removed the video of me being arrested at the state capitol. They removed my videos just appearing on this show talking about topics that aren't even controversial. It's startling, isn't it? You can go on YouTube, you can watch teenagers getting in fist fights, horrible fights. And meanwhile, my little altercation, verbal sparring with the manager of Urgent Care Hawaii, violated community standards. It's very strange. This video is removed from YouTube. And this is as heated as it got. But if two 19-year-old boys who were out drinking and made a bad mistake and got in a fight and it was videotaped, YouTube would immediately remove it. It would never remove that. It'd be up there for years. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And then this video was awesome.
Anything, Jason, we put up that's pro-life, that talks about abortion, you have Frank Pavone coming on next hour. He is just a superhero in the pro-life world. Anything that I put up on that topic, when we had, you know, the big controversy at the March for Life with those boys from the Kentucky school with the guy in the drum, the Native American, all that, anything related to those things, anything related to the Democratic Party, all of those things get demonetized within, I would say, usually an hour, 12 hours, usually is what we see. And again, I mean... like you said, I'm kind of in the more wholesome. We're doing, like, you know, theology and philosophy and history and these kind of things, and yet it is a weekly problem already. I think it's even worse on Facebook, and then YouTube is also a big problem as well.
If you were a 19-year-old male exotic dancer at a club in San Francisco and you did a journal of your life on YouTube, would that be removed?
Well, they do have some decency standards, so I think it would depend what's in the video. But okay. As I understand it, YouTube is geared more towards censoring political statements than it is about decency. That's been my observation.
You're talking just basic, simple Christian theology, and every week you really have to worry about being demonetized and deplatformed. It's really unbelievable.
I'd say every third video.
Every third video. I mean, what you're talking about is in the 1950s, you would get in every church in America.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
Yeah, it's just not very
also
controversial.
We're saying that...
See, ladies and gentlemen, they're going to go on and on and on. And I ain't got the time to let them keep going on, but one day I'll finish the rest of that segment. I wanted to let everybody know my podcast has made it to Germany now. So people in Germany are listening to my podcast. So that's pretty good. I appreciate all the listeners that are listening. Making my podcast go as big as it's starting to go. It's starting to get pretty popular. And I appreciate everybody that's supporting it. I got a Scott Jacobs page on Facebook called The Scott Jacobs Show. Look it up. Follow. Leave comments. And I appreciate everybody that listens. And I can't get over how my podcast is made in Germany now. But it can't happen without you listeners. So I appreciate it. I'm on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor. I'm on quite a bit of podcast systems. And I want to give a shout out to Anchor, the app that I do my podcast on. If it weren't for that, it wouldn't be possible. So thank you, Anchor. So I'm going to end my podcast today. It's May 24th, 2020. I hope everybody has a good Sunday and
May the Lord give them a blessed day. I'm getting ready to go hiking, me and my old lady and kids. I love you, my wife. I love you dearly. You're what keeps me going every day. So, that's my podcast, guys. Thanks.